Very good morning to one and all, and it is good to be in the house of the Lord again to worship Him and to hear His Word. Let us commit the study of God's Word to His hands. Our Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word to encourage us, to comfort us, and to direct us. And we ask, O Lord, now as we search the Scripture, that You will speak to us, to each of us, that we will be Your people, obedient to Your Word, longing to do what pleases You. So, Lord, use me. I am an unworthy servant, but You use these earthen vessels that Your glory may be seen. And so may Your glory be seen in the preaching of Your Word today. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Chinese New Year is a celebration of spring, and I want to take this opportunity to wish you all a little in advance, a blessed Lunar New Year, 新年蒙恩. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the four seasons and the passage of time. You know, many people around the world mark the passage of time with four seasons. In Singapore, we mark the passage of time with four school terms, and we just name them 1, 2, 3, and 4. No spring, summer, autumn, nothing. It's just four school terms, and we've all spent our lives marking time that way. But for those who are familiar with the passing of seasons, spring is a time of renewal. Grass grows, leaves and flowers appear in the trees, there are longer hours of sunlight, the cold of winter is gone. Many animals give birth in the spring. In Chinese, we say 春回大地, spring has returned to the earth. In the Bible, spring is part of God's promise to Noah and to his descendants. After the flood, and after Noah had come out of the ark, God said to Noah and his family, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, the cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Spring, as part of these seasons, is God's promise to Noah. And perhaps God has given us springtime as a metaphor for renewal. See, the English word for renewal or renewal carries a few meanings. One of them is replenish. Just like in spring, you have the earth replenished. Revival, you know, no more deadness, but life re-established. And recovery, say, for example, of youth and strength. And this is what we see in the spring. And all these definitions of the word renew convey the idea of restoration to a former state, or to make new, or as if new again. And spring is really an appropriate picture for this. So I hope you will reflect on spring and renewal of the season. The earth that was cold, barren, and dead during the winter, it comes to life again with the arrival of spring. But in spite of all the good cheer that spring brings, right, the fact that we have spring tells us that really there is also death and decay that is part of the cycle. And renewal is, in a sense, extending the lifespan with no original change to the content and purpose. Right? The earth is still here. Nothing's really changed. We just renewed it. As we look towards the celebration of the Lunar New Year, and as we consider our church theme for the year, which is renewing our strength in the Lord from Isaiah 40:21, I'd like for us to consider the idea of renewal and what that might mean for each of us and for our church. Our text for today is taken from 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. And I invite you to keep your Bibles, paper or digital, open to this passage, and as we will go back and forth in the verses before this text. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, and let me read this for us. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So for today, I'd like to focus on renewal as it is expressed in this passage of Scripture. And the word for renew in our text for consideration today, and in many New Testament texts, carries the meaning of renovation as well. And renovation is something we're all familiar with, right? How many of you have had your homes renovated? And we do this all the time. In fact, you know, the period before Chinese New Year is a time when people will have their homes done up, you know, in time for the New Year, so you can welcome the guests, turn the old house into a new house. And not just our homes. People will renew their wardrobe, some will renew their car, some will get new skin, and some new hair, and you know, a new face. But beyond all, some of you have done it, right? Yeah. But beyond all this, renewal or renovation in our text, besides describing new strength and vigor, replenishing and recovery is also used to describe the act of being changed. Changed into a new kind of life as opposed to an old and former corrupt state. And I hope you were paying attention to all the hymns you were singing just now, because they were a prelude to what we are going to study today. But perhaps the obvious question to ask is, why do we even need renewal? Fair question. If it ain't broke, why fix it? And the answer to the question is in the first part of our passage. What is broken and what is wrong is that the outward man is perishing. If you look at that passage again, the outward man is perishing. It's experiencing affliction, and we are fainting as a result of it. And this really should be obvious to all of us. In fact, we spend a lot of time complaining about the perishing outward man. And we spend a lot of effort trying to fix it. Think of all the searches in the past for the fountain of youth. Chinese New Year is a time when we wish each other a lot of good things. We always start with 身体健康, good health, you know, 恭喜发财, good fortune. 心想事成, you have the desires of your heart, you know, 子孙满堂, a lot of descendants. And all these things are consonant with the arrival of spring. And in a way, they represent an understanding of the temporary nature of things, because we have to renew our wishes every year. And we know by this and accept that what grows in spring eventually fades and then perishes in winter. And the perishing of our, and the decay of our physical bodies, and even of our minds, right? We're all so concerned about things like dementia these days. This is something that we're all very familiar with. And the word in the King James, which is translated as perish, is rendered as perishing in a continuous sense, continuous tense, perishing in the New King James and wasting away in the English Standard Version. And it all suggests that this is really a gradual process of decay and corruption. And we see this all around. Now, you know, one of the joyful things about my work is I get to interact with a lot of seniors. And the Chinese-speaking seniors teach me a lot of stuff, because my Chinese is very bad. I'm glad none of them were my Chinese teacher. They'll be very embarrassed. But in the recent years, as my own hair has started to turn white, all my senior patients start to tease me about my hair turning white. And one word that they've taught me, one phrase they've taught me always sticks in my mind, you know, 岁月不饶人, time has no mercy on men, right? And that is true, isn't it? I see my patients grow older, more frail. I see the seniors in church, the same thing, you know, they become more infirm. They lose that physical and maybe even cognitive vitality, and they suffer the ravages of illness. And each time we see that, we feel that sadness, right? And then, of course, we all experience the suffering that's brought upon this world by natural disaster, wars, human conflicts. You know, our bodies and the world around us are in a continual state of decay and destruction and suffering. Paul was no stranger to physical affliction. And if you read the rest of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 11, he recounts for us, he was whipped 39 times on 5 occasions, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times, always in peril of the Jews, the heathen, robbers, frequently on the road, often hungry, thirsty, and weary. You know, but that word affliction that he uses here is not just about physical suffering. You know, it also describes anguish and agony and burdens in the heart. And Paul experienced this in great measure. You know, 2 Corinthians is said to be Paul's most personal, heartfelt, and emotional letter. And you know why he was going through this? You see, besides the physical suffering, he was also afflicted daily by the cares of the church. And you know from 1 Corinthians that Paul had to correct the Corinthians for their pride, for their tolerance of sin. And here in 2 Corinthians, we read that false teachers had come into the church. You know, they made themselves popular with the people. But what were they doing? They were accusing Paul of many things, falsely accusing him. They impugned his integrity, his honesty, and they insinuated that he was not qualified to be a teacher or preacher because he was poor and he was not a great public speaker. And you know what? The Corinthian church that Paul had carefully nurtured over years, they believed these false teachers. So you can imagine what was going through Paul's mind and the mental anguish he had, you know, when he heard all these things. So much so that in this letter he wrote, you know, that he despaired of life. He was pressed out of measure, above strength, and he despaired of life. Can you identify with Paul? How many of us have gone through a lot of severe illness, physical suffering, some poverty, the ravages of age, the weakness of our body, failures, heartaches, insults, being scammed, being cheated, being bullied, being emotionally blackmailed? Nowadays, the new words for it are being cancelled, being trolled. You know, all these things affect us all. And they all hurt. And they even happen when we think we ought to be safe, such as at home or in the church. These afflictions happen all the time, and they cause us to be faint, to lose heart, to feel weary, to feel weak. And so we need renewal. We need renovation. Broken parts need to be fixed. The weary spirit needs to be lifted. Hope needs to be restored so that we faint not, so that we don't lose heart. And the marvelous thing about the three verses of our text today is that they describe that renewal is already happening. It's already happened and is continuing to happen. And even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed daily. But have you wondered why Paul makes the distinction between the outward man and the inward man? The late R.C. Sproul, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, he puts it this way. The contrast between outward and inward is not simply between the body and the soul, but between our whole person insofar as it still shares in the decay endemic to this present evil age, and our whole person insofar as it is renewed by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. The new person, our whole person, the inward man is our whole person that is renewed by the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Those of you who are at prayer meeting this week, and I do hope more of you will come, it's online, so quite straightforward to come. Those of you who are at prayer meeting, you may recall that the devotion was given also spoke of renewal of the inward man. And here are some of the references from that devotion. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Already a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And to this I add one more, Colossians 3:10. And you have already put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Renewal is a done deal. And it is about being in Christ. You see, the Bible tells us that the root cause of all that is wrong, all that affliction, that decay, the perishing of the outward man, is caused by sin. Sin that starts with pride, that starts with us thinking we are better than God, we are above His laws, we think ourselves more important than Him and than others. Pride that leads us to be greedy, demanding, grab more for ourselves, put others down, to be unloving. Sin that causes our hearts to grow cold towards God and brings decay into all our relationships. Sin that is at the root of all the suffering, wasting away of our outward self. You know, I started reading Genesis again this year, at the start of the year. And one of the painful truths that is evident as you read Genesis is that it is the sin of man that is directly responsible for all that has gone wrong with what God has created. Whether it's the sin of our first parents, Adam and Eve, or their descendants, or our own sin, sin is what is causing suffering of ourselves and of others. It is our sinful heart that is at the center of perishing and of decay, and all the affliction that we see around us. And God's word declares to us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's really the inward man that needs to be first renewed. And that is what God is doing in the lives of all those whom He has called to be His people. Since it is the heart that is deceitful and wicked, that's where God has started. And God, knowing that sinful man is unable, we are unable to will ourselves to be righteous, and He has established a new covenant instead with us. And in this covenant, He unilaterally undertakes to redeem us, to cleanse us from our sins. And He did this by sending His only begotten Son to be the acceptable sacrifice for sin, to die on the cross, to bear the punishment for our sins in our place. For Christ's sake, God forgives our sins and imputes or counts as ours the righteousness of Christ. And this is what Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you scroll down a little further. For He had made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is that renewal, that first step of renewal. And God does not just simply stop there and say, okay, salvation is possible. He actively works in our hearts to turn us to Himself, to faith in Christ. And He gives us a new heart that is indwelt by His Holy Spirit, that is made sensitive to the things of Christ, to the things of God, to fulfill the covenant that He made in Ezekiel 36, that He will sprinkle clean water upon us, make us clean from all our filthiness and idols. And He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And with this new heart that is declared righteous for Christ's sake and is made sensitive to Christ by the new spirit that is dwelling within us, God's Holy Spirit, promised in Ezekiel and later promised again by Christ, with this start, God continues to renew us daily. And this is the process of sanctification that we are undergoing. And that's what our text is saying. Our inward man is sanctified, is renewed day by day. And just as our outward man is decaying gradually, the inward man is also being renewed daily. And the aim of all this renewal by the Holy Spirit is that we would be changed into the same image of Christ, the image of Christ, from glory to glory. And that you see that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are being transformed into the glorious image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the beauty of Christ might be seen in us, as we sang earlier. And this is not an isolated promise in 2 Corinthians. It's throughout God's Word. And you see it in Romans 8:29, for example, that the aim of this renewal is that we will be conformed to the image of Christ, of God's Son. And you heard in the first message of this year by Pastor Charles what this new image is. For Christ is the final and best revelation of the Father, the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That is what we are being changed into, the image of Christ. But though we wish, don't you wish you knew all the details of what that would look like? You know, sometimes when we want something new, we're told, okay, you get something new. We want to know all the details about it. We know we don't know all the details yet. But by faith, we look ahead at towards this, as John declares in 1 John. We do not yet know what we shall be. But we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The glory that we are waiting for, the weighty and eternal glory that Paul talks about, will be ours when we see Christ again. Just two verses before our text for consideration today, in 2 Corinthians 4:14, we see this promise that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And when we continue beyond our passage into 2 Corinthians 5:1, we see that, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And this is the promise of that resurrection that we all look forward to. Do you look forward to this? Believers, I hope you are looking forward to this, that day when we will be with Christ. We will be like Him. You know, did the Corinthians that Paul was writing to know about this? They did for sure. For at the close of the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes in detail. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:53, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." The outward man is perishing and may even completely perish. But even if it does, we will be raised incorruptible. We'll have new bodies. This promise, just this promise by itself, is already sufficient reason for us to faint not, as Paul says. Faint not. Don't lose heart. But that is not all. For the glory we hope for is far greater than just a new body. And you read in our responsive reading today the promise of heaven that is to come. The tabernacle of God that will be with men. He will dwell with them and they shall be His people. We will be there with Him. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more perishing. No more decay. No more corruption. Nothing. None of all this. And God says here, "I make all things new." All things new. All that has caused the decay, corruption, perishing will be gone. All the signs, sorrow, tears, pain, all gone. God will dwell among His people, just as He intended when He created the world. And this is the goal of the renewal that starts with the inward man. The restoration of God's creation, His intent in creation. But more than just restoring to the same, you read in our passage that it will be even more glorious than what we know now, what God created in the first place, more amazing than what we can imagine. There will be the new Jerusalem, made of gold and all manner of precious stones. And whether you believe this to be literal or metaphorical, and Christians do have differing views on this, whichever you believe, it will be a glorious sight. And Christ has promised us that in His Father's house are many mansions, and He's gone to prepare a place for us, and He will come again and receive us unto Himself, that we may be there with Him. But you know what Christ says, as you look at this verse here, as He is about to leave His disciples and go to the cross and fulfill that crucial step in the plan of salvation, the plan of our renewal. What does He say here? He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Faint not. Let not your heart be troubled." And so in our passage today, I think Paul is simply channeling what Christ has promised for us. So when Paul says we faint not, he is really saying the same as what Christ says. Let not your heart be troubled. For our light affliction, this burden that we have now, the suffering that we have now, is just for a moment. It's temporary. But the things which we look forward to, those are eternal. Now, believers and even those who don't believe, the non-believers alike, will often ask this question: why doesn't God just take us to heaven straight away at the time of our conversion? The moment we confess Christ, why can't we go to heaven straight away? Why doesn't God just stop us from sinning immediately? Now, these are really difficult questions to answer. And they're particularly difficult if you are looking at these questions through the lens of our human reasoning, the lens of our own biases. You know, God certainly has the ability to take us to heaven right away and to stop us from sinning straight away. But He has chosen in His sovereignty that affliction and renewal will be the vehicles on which we will reach that far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He has given us the comfort of knowing the destination, where we will go. And He has given us daily the renewal of the inward man. And if you look back at history, the history of God's people, you will see what renewal looks like. You see men and women becoming more and more like Christ. You see the good things that come out of affliction. You see the good things He has given us here and now. And we see that all we can look forward with faith at all the good that God has in store for us. And this is my New Year wish for all of us, that we will see our faith increase and we'll experience the joy of seeing how God works, out all things for His glory and our good. You know, we actually have a little bit of a metaphor for this that we see all the time. How many of you participate in a sport or play a musical instrument? Right? Which athlete does not suffer pain and in training to build muscle, to build strength, speed, and skill? I recently learned a new word called DOMS, or it's an acronym, DOMS, Delayed Onset Muscle Soreness, which, yeah, some of you are smiling, you've experienced that, which basically is the ache you feel after you've exercised, right? But what does that bring? It brings stronger muscles. It brings new strength, right? Delayed onset muscle soreness. You know, I used to watch my son practice the violin until, we all wait for the calluses to form on our fingers when you play a string instrument. But you know what happens before you have a callus? You have bleeding and you have pain in your fingers. And so I watched practice till the skin was, you know, he had a bit of bleeding on his fingers, and you feel sorry for the musicians, but you know, with that comes that expertise and skill. And those of you who are involved with training, you know how many hours it takes to achieve expertise in any one thing? It takes 10,000 hours. So we already have plenty of our own analogies to demonstrate that good things come out of difficult times. And for sure, none of the trials we undergo in this life are pleasant. And the fact that we have a glorious future to look forward to, it doesn't excuse any of those who are causing suffering to others. The Bible is not in any way saying we ignore wrongdoing or suffering, simply telling each other, okay, suck it up. But instead, it tells us that God's promises are real. His promises of renewal are daily. And so, and this renewal, this daily renewal, is so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ, so that we receive the strength to run the race, so that we may be comforted with the hope of the eternal weight of glory. And this is repeated often throughout God's word, and we have seen many real examples ourselves. God knows, He knows the burdens and fears of living in this sinful world will discourage us. They make us feel like giving up. And so He gives us His promise and His encouragement. And we read that in our theme verse for the year. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And besides this, God has provided us many examples. You know, you read in Hebrews 11 and throughout God's word, of all the heroes of faith, they went through a lot. They went through suffering. And now they surround us. They compass us around a great cloud of witnesses. And we are told, we are encouraged, run the race with patience, with cheerful or hopeful endurance. Run this race. Look to the finish line. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. None of our afflictions, our light afflictions, can compare. And maybe this is what Paul is telling us and why he calls our afflictions light. Paul is not making light of anything that we are suffering. He did not have it easy. But he calls them light perhaps because he compares them with what Christ had to endure for our sakes. The sinless dying for the sinful, the rejection of man, the persecution of man. What we undergo is light in comparison to what Christ went through for us. And so what then remains for us to do? It remains for us, as Paul writes to Timothy, continue. 2 Timothy 3:14. continue, remain, endure in the things which you have learned and have been assured. God has assured us of all these things. It's just left for us to remain, to endure. And this is not just a New Testament promise. In the Old Testament, in Daniel, as Daniel was reaching the end, he was told, "Go thou thy way till the end be." Just go your way. Endure, continue. Continue to be God's faithful servant. For you will find rest. Thou shalt rest. Eventually you will rest. And you will stand in your lot, in your inheritance. And the word lot is your inheritance. Thou shalt stand in thy lot at the end of the days. So this Lunar New Year is a season, again, of remembering. Spring, remembering and renewal. And as you gather together as families and have those reunions, I hope you will look forward to that great reunion we will have one day before the throne of God. And I want to encourage all of us with the promises of God to all His people. Receive His daily renewing with thanksgiving. Let His strength be ours. Fix our eyes on Christ. He is the assurance of the eternal and glorious future that we are promised. Continue in the things you have learned. Continue in the things you have learned from and of Christ, and press on in the struggles of life while we wait that glorious day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for what the Lunar New Year and springtime reminds us, that you make all things new and that you are renewing us daily. And in spite of all that we see around us that's going wrong, we have that hope of eternity. We have that hope of the glory that you have promised, of our resurrection bodies, of the home, our heavenly home. And with that, O Lord, comfort us, strengthen us for the work that you have ahead for us as we continue to run this race. Lord, give us that strength as you have promised. Keep us faithful unto you. Cleanse us daily from sin. Sanctify us daily, that we may be fit for your use. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.